I want to turn our attention this morning to our guest speaker. I don't remember the years. I didn't look them up. Jason, how long y'all been gone from here?
Almost 5 years.
Braden will be five. Braden was just a little fella when you all left. He hadn't been born all that long when you all decided to go back for some reason. They went back north to Peru. And Jason and Jennifer, I'm sure Mama's happy about that. Mama and Mama, but Jason and Jennifer and Braden and their other three kids with us today, and other family members, appreciate all their effort to come and be with us this morning. Jason and Jennifer came to be with us in the 90s. Jennifer began coming here when she was going to Louisville Bible College somewhere in about 97.
99.
Is it 99? Okay, she had been coming right early in 98, late 98, 99, and she had gone to Louisville Bible College, and here all of a sudden comes Jennifer in here, didn't know her at all, and started worshiping with us and really appreciated her. And then next thing you know, here comes Jason, no surprise there, but we appreciated them getting married and then coming here and being part of the work here for a few years with us, and very good memories and a great blessing they were during that time. And we used to go play ball after church on Sunday nights together. Hoped to have more of our ball team here this morning, but had some gone and some sick. But Jason and Jennifer have a special place in our hearts here at Cherry Street. And very sorry to see them go north, but we understood their desire to go back into their home area. And I know there's many happy family members there because they did go back. But we called Jason and asked him if he would be our homecoming speaker this year. He's always been enthusiastic and energetic when it comes to serving the Lord. He's always led with a desire to see the Lord's name lifted up, and never saw him down at all, at least publicly and around other people, about his faith or about his zeal for God. And that's one of the things that I love about Jason, is his zeal, his enthusiasm for the Lord. Very upbeat and positive person. So, Jason, we love you and appreciate you and Jennifer and your family, and thank you for coming. So I introduce to you our brother in the Lord, Brother Jason Worley, to speak to us about what it means to be a child of God.
I was hoping you'd get a shorter podium. I could just bend my knees a little bit and you wouldn't be able to see me. That'd be easier to preach to you. I thank Nick for calling. I thank most of you I know, and I got to say hi to already, and it's always good to come down here and see you. I'm going to introduce my family a little bit to those who you don't know. My mom and dad are the first two here in the row, with my daughter, Carlin, and then my mother-in-law and father-in-law, Steve and Patty, are there. And then that's my aunt, my mom's sister, behind her. And then that's Brandon, my nephew, sitting next to her. We're getting ready to adopt him. And if you guys, I'm going to get in trouble for this, but that's my lovely wife walking down the center aisle. So that's enough icebreakers, I guess. We already had the reading of John 3, which I was expecting because I knew you guys did that, so I won't read that again. I do want to thank the Satterfields. They're wonderful people. I've known them since we've been down here, and they opened their house to us, and a nice house it is. It's very nice, and plenty of bathrooms. That's the important part. That's the important part. So, and I am glad to be here today. I do have a few questions for you that you don't have to answer. What is a family? Well, a family is normally a mother, a father, a son, and a daughter. You know, that's what the family structure is. What is the child's role in the family? Normally, to obey the parents. The father is normally in control of the family, so to obey the father's will. Who is your family? We don't get to choose that. We don't get to choose who our father and mother is. They are pretty much given. And I didn't get to choose my mom and dad, but they still follow me around everywhere I go. So that's very interesting. When it comes to God, though, we do make that free will choice. We get to choose Him as our Father, our God. So that's the difference between our natural life here on earth and our spiritual life. We do get to choose who our Father is. We could choose other gods. We could choose other people or money to be our father or our leader. And we in this building have chosen God as our father, and that's very good. How can we be better children to God? Well, that's why we're here. Some of us, I'm not sure, I don't know all of you, so some of us haven't made that commitment to God, and many of us have made that commitment to God. So I'm going to try to touch on both of those, how you can become a child of God and how you can be a better child of God. My first point is repentance and belief. And if you turn to Acts 2:38, many of you know this one. Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If you repent, that is a vital step in becoming a child of God. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. Repentance is absolutely necessary. When God laid down the rules He laid down, we need to repent of what we do wrong. I've done many wrongs in my life. I'm a very young man, unlike Nick, and I have many, many years to look forward to before I'm anywhere for 17 years. And that is one thing that since I've become a child of God, that I've learned. I learned this as a child of God, not as a child of my father. Recently, as I grow older, I'm starting to learn, now that I have a son that just like me and how I treated my parents, I'm starting to learn to repent for those things that I did. Many, many years ago, and may have caused them the gray hair that they have today. But repentance is very necessary in what you do in life. It may seem simple to most people to say, "Oh yeah, I repent." But if you truly repent, it's through your heart. It's something that you do, and then you no longer think of it. When I repent of a sin, it's gone. It's God's. He says He will take those sins off our shoulders, and He does. And if you're every day saying, "I need to repent of this, I need to repent of this," well, it's staying fresh in your mind and it's not repented of. So you need to learn to repent of your sins. Belief in the Lord is also necessary. Belief comes from hearing of the Word. Hearing of the Word of God is how you believe. How do you believe in your parents when you're a child? You believe in your parents by their words. They teach you something, you believe them. You have total trust in them when you're children. Now you may trust them less as you grow older, but as a child, you do trust your parents with all your heart and all your soul. And those words that your parents have is how you get that belief in your parents and how they're going to keep you safe. Well, that's how we need to believe in God. We need to hear His words. It didn't take the Ethiopian eunuch long when he heard the words. He was reading the words already. He knew the words, but when he was taught the words, when he was shown the words and what they meant, it didn't take him long to say, "Hey, I need to do this. I need to be dipped in water and be baptized and follow what my God or my Father needs to do." So it's the Word of God, that not just having the Word of God, but knowing the Word of God and knowing what it means, that's going to help us in our walk with God as children of God. This also happened in Acts 10 with Cornelius and the many. They were Gentiles, and it was Peter that walked in. Was it Peter? Yes. Okay. It was it was Peter that was in their house and was called to Cornelius and said that these are the words of God, and he started teaching them the words of God and converted those many people that were in that place. We in our nature, natural lives, grow by nourishing our bodies with food, water, and exercise or work. Well, in our spiritual lives, we need to do those same things. We need to take God's Word, which is our food and water, and we need to study it, or the action of eating. That's the same thing as studying the Word. So study that Word, and we need to spread the Word. We need to be active in the Word, and that's our exercise, our spiritual exercise, to do what we do. I mean, you are around your coworkers all day long. You are around your family all day long. You are around strangers on the street, when you're in the grocery store or any other place, we need to exercise our faith. That is essential to being a child of God. If we don't exercise, we become big, fat spiritual Christians instead of nice, slender, walking towards God Christians and sitting on the couch and flipping the remote, God's remote control in our own lives instead of walking and doing the Word of God. And it doesn't take much. Besides, you can be in a grocery store and someone drops something, you can pick it up and say, well, no problem, or you just give them a smile, and it wonders to, and it doesn't take much to act on God's behalf. We do need to grow spiritually, and we need to be good at it. Well, to be good at singing, to be good at sports, to be good at your job, well, it takes time, and it normally takes practice. Well, the same thing with being a spiritual worker or a spiritual child of God. You need to practice at it. You need to study. You need to know the material so that when you go out and they ask you these questions, you've already had your practice. You've already done your work. You've already had your mistakes, either past or forth. And when you do a job and your boss comes up to you and says, hey, this is something new we want to do, well, I've never done that before. Well, learn it. So you go out and learn it, and you try it, and you break something. Ah, I'm going to get fired. No, it's a mistake. You learn from it. That's what we should do. It's very simple to go out and make mistakes, but we learn from them, and that's how we grow. It's all a part of the growing process. I wouldn't learn anything if I didn't make a mistake. When I was practicing my sermon, I kept saying Paul. And that's why I was so excited about saying Peter, and I did it right. Okay? And I'm glad I didn't have to make that mistake to learn from it. So that's what we need to do. We need to go out and make mistakes. So I want everybody to go out today and make a mistake so you learn something today, okay? It's very important to being a child. Oh, where am I? Sometimes it does take failure. I mean, absolute failure, where you're down in the down dumps and you just can't think of a way out. Well, that's why we have brothers and sisters in Christ. They're here. God has created the church as a structure or a family structure to build upon for us, for guidance. And if I had a problem, when we were down here and I had a problem, I knew the elders of this church and Bruce and all the many people here that I could go to them and I could ask them a question, and they would try to guide me in the right direction upon their belief and show me some scriptures that would guide me in the right direction. And they were a very good structure, a very good support of men to understand how it was to be a child of God. My next point is, to be a child of God, you must have obedience. It's very important to have obedience. And I want to show you exactly what God thinks of obedience in Romans 1, 29 through 32. And he groups obedience with this, and I think it's very evident what how he feels about a disobedient child. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. It's very important that we understand the kind of people that disobedient people are grouped with, because a lot of times we think, oh, if I'm just so disobedient about that, it's no big deal. But it's such a big deal to be disobedient to your parents, and especially disobedient to God, because the understanding of what he groups this with, you don't think of those things when you think about being disobedient. You need to start thinking about the murderers and the deceit and the evil things that are grouped with disobedience and how strongly God feels that disobedience is. Obedience is pleasing to the Lord when you do it correctly. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And if he sees it as such a bad thing, obviously it's going to be well-pleasing to the Lord, but he does tell us that. We need to obey him when we do We obey him when we do as he commands. And he does command us in Peter 1, 14 through 16. First Peter 1, 14 through 16. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he who calls you is holy, and as you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Well, when he says be holy, be a holy people, set apart is what holy means. We need to be a set apart people. We need to be understanding that when we walk down the street with someone else, they look at us and say, he's a Christian. He is a person that is set apart, who lives differently, who acts with a righteous and a moral stance. If we walk beside somebody as evil, the most evil person I can think of is the devil, but I don't know how many times we walk next to the devil, but we can walk next to somebody, and you guys all know those people. You've seen them, that you can just see the scowl on their face, and they're walking into a bar, and when they come out, that scowl's gone, but so is everything else. You know, I mean, you can see these people, and they were in the news. You hear about it all the time, these people shooting people because they stepped on their foot. I mean, just crazy stuff that they're doing to people. If we cannot be decidedly looked at and decidedly understood that we're different than that person, then how can we be a set-apart people? How can we be a child of God and be called a child of God and not be any different than these worldly people? We have to understand we must set ourselves apart from this world. Yes, we have to live in this world, but it's absolutely necessary that we set ourselves apart from this world and be understanding in ourselves and being knowing and discerning the works of God from the works of the devil. And it's absolutely a must to be in being a son of God or a child of God that we do this. And it's absolute. He does expect full obedience, not just half obedience. I have no idea how you can be half obedient. I know how you can tell a half truth, but half obedience is crazy, and I've never been able to do it. I know people can do it, but I can't do it. I don't understand how you can be half obedient. As my kids grow older, and now that I have a intro to teenagers right now going on, it's starting to become more clear to me, but I still don't have the full understanding of half obedience. And I just know that full and structured obedience brings structure and brings order to our lives. And you're obedient for a reason. My younger kids, we teach them how to cross the street, because if they learn how to cross the street correctly, they're not going to get hit by a car, or they're not going to be in danger's way. And if my kid's running out in the street and a car's coming and I say stop or come here, they need to be fully obedient, because if they're only half obedient and turn and say what, it's too late. Half obedience is absolutely don't do it. You need to be fully obedient to God's word and fully obedient to Christ. Not only believe and repent, but to be immersed. It's a command from God. The Ethiopian eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? He heard the word. He was obedient to the word. He said, here's the water. Stop the chariot. Let's get in the water right now. He was obedient to the word. He didn't say, let's get a cup of water out and get back in the chariot and flip it at me. He didn't say that. He said, let's get in the water. Let's get out of the chariot. Let's get in the water. Let's do what God told us to do. It's absolutely necessary to follow his commands to be a son of God. My third point is the Lord's discipline. I know a lot of you men and women know, you've read the Bible, you've heard of the destruction of Babylon, you've heard of the destruction that the Lord has caused, but the Lord is a consuming fire in Hebrews 12:29. And it's hard to understand a loving God and a loving Father that can destroy like our God destroys. But we talked about this in class this morning, and he used a phrase that he has fury with love. And that is exactly what our God, our Father is. He has a destructive fury with love. And that's a word with a negative connotation, with a word that has so many meanings. And we have a language, the English language has one word for love, love. And all the other languages have many, many words for love. You have filial love and agape love and all those words in Hebrew. And the Latin language has 20 or 30 words for love. It's unreal how we came up with one word for all those words. And the English language is silly most of the time. Because dear, dear, things like that. We have one word for something that can mean so many things. And we need to understand that God's love is true. And God has a fury when we disobey Him. And He has a true agape, God-like love when we do obey His commands. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. He chastens because He loves. Those of you who are parents, you well understand this. We do chasten our children. We discipline our children because we love them, not because we want to discipline our children. And there's a lot of things that we do because we love our children and not because we want to do it. As parents, we make sacrifices and we have understandings with each other, and we start understanding why our parents did what they did. And it's just a whole different concept when you become a parent, what love becomes and the choices you make to love. You make choices to give this up or give that up because you love, not because there is love. But you decide to love. You don't start loving. You decide to love. God also wants you to know that you can be of the wrong spirit. Let's turn to Luke 9, 54 through 56. Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem, and they were going to stop in this village of the Samaritans. And when His disciples, James and John, saw this, that the people said they didn't want to hear Jesus, they said, "Lord, do You want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just like Elijah did?" And Jesus rebukes them and says, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are." He wanted them to show these people love and say, hey, if they don't want to hear us, let's move on. Leave them alone. They're already hardened hearts. We're not going to pull fire and brimstone from the heavens on these people. He may have had a plan for them later on in life that would bring these people to Christ, but now was not the time. And sometimes in our hearts, we look at people and say, we just need to burn this guy up. We just need to get rid of this guy. But if we show the kind of love that Christ showed here, wait. There may be someone else that could talk to this guy, that could bring him to Christ and make him a child of God. So we need to commit in our hearts that we're not going to condemn. It is not our job to condemn, but to teach the word. It's God's job to condemn. I have a story. I use this on my children. I heard it from our minister up at our church. There's a father and a son, and the father wants his car in the garage. And he tells his son, go out there and push the car into the garage, and it's on a little uphill slant. He's a teenage boy. He goes out and he starts pushing the car, and he's pushing it with all his might. One of those old Mustangs or one of those heavy cars. And the boy pushes and pushes and pushes until he's red in the face. And he comes to his father and says, "Father, I've done all I can do. I can't get the car in the garage. I can't do it." And the father says, "Use everything you have. Use everything at your disposal to get that car in the garage." He says, "Okay, I'll try again." He gets back there and he pushes and he pushes and he pushes. And he tries to put a block under the wheel and push it an inch and move the block all at the same time, and it doesn't work. He goes and tells his father, "Father, I can't do it. I've tried. I've used every ounce of strength I have. I've used a block of wood. I've used a stick. I can't do anything. I can't do it." He says, "Use everything you have. Use all your resources." He says, "All right, I'll try one more time." And he tries, and he just can't do it. He finally comes to his father. "I can't do it, Father." And he goes, "You have not used all your resources." "I have. I've used everything in this garage, and I've used all my strength, and I'm so tired now. I couldn't move it if I wanted to." And he says, "You haven't used me." He didn't ask him for help. He didn't use his father. And that's what we do a lot of times. We struggle through our lives, and we struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle, and we forget to ask for the Father's help. He's there for us. He tells us with His strength we can move mountains, and that's what we need to do. So to be a son of God, it's necessary to believe in Christ. The reference is John 20:31. Repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. Confess Christ, Matthew 10:32-33. Be immersed into Christ in Mark and Peter and Romans. Be faithful unto death, 1 John, the passage that we read, and also Revelations 2. Have you obeyed the Father's gospel, and are you being obedient to death? Because I don't see any dead people in here. It's absolutely imperative that we be obedient to death. He demands it, He commands it, and He's told us that it's absolutely necessary. Will you pray with me? Lord, we do thank You so much for giving us this word, this book, this the strength to be here, to come to Your work, come to Your church. Lord, we pray that You be with these folks today, that when they leave here, that they can understand that obeying You and following You and studying these words and committing these words into their hearts and into their mind, if they know these words, Lord, when problems arise, they'll know exactly what their Father wants them to do. Lord, but if they don't know these words, crisis strikes and then they don't know what to do, and then they feel hopeless and they feel without guidance. Lord, we pray that the folks here might commit in their heart to know Your words and to study this book that You have compiled for us, that they might be able to be strengthened and be stronger children of God in Your presence. In Your Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen.